You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from Springfield, our capital, ahead of the State of the State address from Governor Rauner tomorrow. And on the line with us, we have Representative Stephanie Kifowit, who represents the 84th District. How are you doing, Representative?
Good. How are you doing, Patty?
I'm good. Well, thank you for staying up. Are you in town already, or are you still home?
Oh, no, I'll go in the morning.
You're going to go in the morning? I'm here. It's so weird. It's a weird feeling in town. There's a few people have come in for the perfunctory session, getting a few things done ahead of time, but it's very quiet. What do you expect from the State of the State address tomorrow?
Well, I don't think there's much to expect. I don't think anything has happened over this past year that could be attributed to any kind of great accomplishment in the State of the State. The only budget that was signed that was passed by only Democrats was the education funding that we did increase. And I think that's the only thing I think the governor can talk about.
Yeah, because the last week alone has been some dismal news. The Lutheran Services of Illinois announced that they made some cuts. Can you explain for our listeners, that's not actually cuts that you guys have made. That's a shortfall of payments. Is that correct?
To Lutheran Services, we don't have a budget in place, so ergo, we haven't made any cuts. What we've been doing is going on autopilot, and the pilot that is steering the ship is the courts. So the courts have told us who to pay, and then everybody else is just kind of left in the wind.
Right, because I believe Catholic Charities said they might follow suit. And, you know, when there is this idea that the Democrats are digging in, the Republicans are digging in, the governor wants this reform agenda, and the Speaker of the House won't meet with him. Can you explain why the agenda is, he's tying the agenda to the budget? Does that make sense to you? Because I'm trying to explain it to everybody else, and I'm having trouble now explaining it.
Well, to me, it doesn't make sense to tie it to the budget. The case in point is that I don't think just because the governor says it over 100 times that he wants these reforms, there hasn't been any kind of exchange of information, or in Springfield, there hasn't been any communication as to why I individually should look at some of these reforms. The case in point is one of the reforms that he's arguing for is workman's compensation, 50% causation. That's what he's focusing on. However, Illinois is just like 38 other states when it comes to causation. The workers' compensation has to arise out of and are in the course of employment. So 38 other states and Illinois are doing the exact same thing. So 50% causality to me is not the true reform for workman's compensation that we should be looking at. But that's right. The only reform he's been talking about. So there's no, when I do my independent research, to me, there's just not enough evidence out there to support his claims that this is the direction we should be going in.
Well, and the fact that it would be the direction we would go in order to come to a budget solution, it doesn't affect the budget. I mean, we were talking before the break, things like whether there are cuts or if there are tax increases, those seem to be budget related. But was there ever, in your two terms, and I'm guessing those were during Governor Quinn's administration, had he ever had something that he demanded, or any other governor that you've been aware of? I can't remember a time when a governor said, do this or we don't get a budget. It seems like holding the state hostage.
No, it's never been contingent on withholding. I mean, even going back to Blagojevich, they've never withheld negotiating the budget or vetoed the whole budget or not even worked with all the other states that have budget issues past one month extensions, and they work together while not causing harm and just misery on people. And well, that is what I think is terrible, because we tried over the summer to pass one-month budgets and stopgap budgets and to try to keep people from being hurt and miserable, and they've just always failed because there's no support from the other side of the aisle.
Well, what would you say to people who demand that we have this kind of a hostage situation, because otherwise pension reform doesn't happen? I've heard Senator Murphy say that we spend 25% of our budget goes to the pension. So I think for a lot of people it seems we tie it to the budget because we rely so heavily on our budget to pay pensions. What would you say?
Correct.
To people?
But that's not a solution today. that's a solution that can be worked out. If we pass a pension bill today, regardless of what it is, let's say we think it's the most wonderful pension bill in the world, it's going to get caught up in court. And it will take 2 to 3 years through the court system to decide whether it is the best plan or if it gets thrown out just like the other pension plan did.
Right, which was...
So to say that it's tied to the budget today is a misnomer. And to say that workmen's compensation is tied to the budget, if we make the workmen's compensation so tight that we, the state, don't pay workmen's compensation, those people are going to go on welfare, and we, the state, will pay welfare. So we, the state, will pay one way or another if we disenfranchise working individuals. So we have to make sure that the policy is fair and equitable and the right policy, not just a policy that got pulled out of the air and has no supporting documentation behind it.
Well, did he last year introduce any bills, or did the Republicans introduce any bills toward this agenda just flat out?
They introduced a bill, but they filed bills, but nobody talked to me about them. Nobody sat down with me to go over why their bill is the right bill, provide evidence to the fact. So to file a bill is to file a bill, but to actually work a bill, to actually talk to people, to actually, it took me, my first bill was a bill for ticket brokers. I call it the ticket broker bill. It was for theaters so that when you check out online, you know that you're not buying the tickets from a theater, you're buying it from a ticket broker.
Right.
Two lines of two sentences, that's it. Two sentences just added this little disclosure. It took me a year and a half to pass a bill like that, to talk to the people who were opposing it, to talk to all the different, I didn't realize there were so many people connected to two lines, two sentences.
Wow.
So it took me a year and a half. So I think it's unrealistic for huge, major changes to happen just because a bill's filed or just because somebody says it. It needs to be vetted and needs to be good policy. I mean, another example, where we should be focusing on things that will help us. One of the things, and the General Assembly passed a resolution in May. Congressman Bill Foster passed the resolution in the House to talk about the situation where the state of Illinois is in, where we don't get the funding that our neighbors get. So all the time we hear about Indiana, Wisconsin, right? Indiana, Wisconsin is
right. Better for business.
Better for business, better for everything. But here is what is interesting with Indiana and Wisconsin. The state of Illinois has not had its federal Medicaid matching rate adjusted since 1965. We get reimbursed for every dollar we pay in Medicaid. We get reimbursed 50 cents, 50 cents on the dollar. Sounds good until you look at our neighbor, which is Wisconsin. They get reimbursed 60%. 60
really?
Cents on a dollar. Indiana gets reimbursed 67 cents on a dollar. So we're talking a difference. 60%, 60 cents on a dollar would give the state $700 million more to recalculate to a rate that is equitable and fair to our neighbors. 67%, let's say we want to be like our neighbor that gets 67% reimbursement rate, which we should, Indiana, that's $1.19 billion right there.
What holds up increasing the rate of reimbursement?
Well, obviously, past administrations have not done it. And this is where I think the governor should be focusing his energy on, is getting these types of programs. It's the same thing with reimbursement for our roads and infrastructure. It's the same thing. Our formulas that come to the state of Illinois are outdated, severely outdated from the federal government. And I know Congressman Bill Foster is championing this, and the governor should be championing this. And this is where we need to look at where the revenue comes from. It is so childish to sit there and say, Democrats want to raise taxes. Not true. Not true at all. What we want to do is find places like this, $1.19 billion, because our reimbursement rate has not been updated since 1965. This is where the revenue can come from. This is where solutions can come from. And this is what the governor and the leaders should be focusing on instead of just talking that, you know, the only solution is raising taxes, which I fundamentally disagree with.
And you mentioned, I read that you had mentioned in November that the governor and the four leaders did meet to make plans for the 911 centers, motor fuel tax funds, lottery. I'm reading your Facebook page. So they did get together in November. And then was that the last time that there was a conversation about things that affected the state?
It does appear that way. And I think that's very sad. But this is what happens. And this is what needs to happen. The governor and the four leaders actually sat in a room and they just talked numbers. They didn't talk about workman's comp. They didn't talk about pensions. They talked about budgetary numbers that affected things today. And guess what happened? Results happened. If all these other things we can address, we can work on, we can do committees on them, we can work on them. And I'll be happy to work on them. I've done a lot of research on workman's comp. I've done a lot of research with regards to all sorts of other ideas. But when we all come together and talk about just the numbers, the budget, the numbers, and how can we get things done? Believe it or not, things get done. Talking to the media doesn't do it. You know, not showing up to meetings doesn't do it. We need to get them in the room to start talking to get things done.
Well, and a lot of people would also say that the Democrats, and this is something an individual posted on my Facebook page, that the Democrats they dominate the legislature, the General Assembly. And I've been there for votes, including the tax on millionaires keeping the tax, the 5% tax, both of which were voted down. And that was before the supermajority was needed. And you had three or four Democrats that did not vote lockstep. So what do you say to people who say that the Democrats run things? Nothing's going to get done anyway.
I think it's a cop out.
I think so too.
It's just a cop out. It's just pointing the finger. The point, in fact, is that my name is on bipartisan bills. I support some Republican bills, some Republican budget bills, 2-year budgeting. It came from a Republican. I'm all for it. We need to start doing a pro forma. I think it's a cop out to sit there and say, "Well, we can't get anything done. It's all their fault." You know what? Step up. Get the job done. I was in the Marine Corps, and you know what? There ain't no crying in the Marine Corps. There's no crying from the other side either. Get the job done. Get people into the room. Get the job done. Point blank.
I think there's so many people that agree with you on both sides of the aisle. And before we let you go, I do have to tell you this, and Craig will laugh. I'm actually going to Camp Pendleton, where they're sending some educators and media types to spend a week with the Marines in San Diego. So I might have to get some pointers from you before I go. I think they're going to let me go on the firing range. I'm not sure if I should have a gun, Representative.
Oh, it's very, very controlled. Don't worry. They will keep you in line. I was stationed up at the School of Infantry, so if you go in the northern part of Camp Pendleton, that's where I was stationed up. And then just before you go, I want to give a shout out because we are CrossFit buddies. I do CrossFit out here, you do CrossFit there, and you have a phenomenal stance, man. You just rock it in the CrossFit world.
Can some of the rest of us weigh in on whether or not Patty should be handed a gun at any moment? I feel like maybe that's a no. Sounds scary.
Hey, Craig, I've shot a Glock before. I did the FBI Citizens Academy.
Right. Yeah,
I had a Tommy gun and an automatic rifle.
I prefer the 9mm, but, you know, in the military, we shot the 5.56mm A16A2. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
We need some photos. You and I on the firing range. We'll do CrossFit together because you have a good form and you lift more than I do. I'm just a baby CrossFitter. We should do a CrossFit cross exchange or something. That would be fun.
It'll be a little fun. I love it. It's a good thing. It's a good time. Got to get people in shape. Kind of run away from father time and, you know, just keep working it out. So
exactly.
Awesome job on the CrossFit.
No, but, you too.
Just wrap up. You know, there are other solutions out there and I am ready and willing and working to, you know, come up with great ideas. It's just we got to get true leadership and get, you know, people talking in the right direction.
And do me one favor. Can you tell some of the Republicans they can do my show? They don't like staying up, Representative. They tell me it's too late.
I'm a little bit of a night owl, so I stay up late all the time. So
well,
it's all good.
We'll have to find some kindred spirits on the other side of the aisle who will stay up with us. We've had a few, but I want to make sure that everyone joins the conversation, and I appreciate your time. I will see you in the morning.
Oh, sounds great. Well, you take care and have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks. Safe travels. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.